This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting live worldwide. Glad to be with you again on this Independence Day. Independence Day 2006. And today, I don't think that it is a day of celebration. But it's a day to understand and to note what we have lost in the United States of America. Our country had such a fantastic and auspicious beginning. We fought the most powerful nation on earth, the most powerful empire on earth, and we won our independence. Sometimes Americans don't really understand or realize what independence really means. We say, well, we fought for our freedom. Well, we had certain freedoms under the British. We could vote. We could elect our own officials. We had certain individual rights and liberties of property, business. We had many aspects of our lives that we had a complete and total control over. We had, in fact, freedom of religion and, to a great extent, freedom of speech and press. In fact, the American Revolution couldn't have occurred except for the fact that there is freedom of speech and press in many of the colonies. In fact, for many years, the letters of correspondence and other printed broadsheets went throughout the colonies talking about the grievances that the colonies had against the king and against Great Britain. It's true that there were limits on that speech, no question. But America was not simply about limits on freedom of speech or the lack of limits. It wasn't really about freedom. It really wasn't about protecting our aspects of religious expression. We had those rights pretty much in the colonies of the United States of America. If we talk about freedom, it was more about the freedom for the American people to have a government that represents the interests of the American people. That is, our own government. A government representing the people of these colonies, of these United States, and not the interests of England or Great Britain or any other nation around the world. And that's what our Declaration of Independence was all about. It was about independence. It was about the right of a people, any people, to have a government that acts in defense of its own people, in the interests of its own people, for the ideals and principles and values of its own people, that every people has a right to have a government that reflects its own interests, its own culture, its own values, its own purposes for that matter. What we have today, after some 200 and how many years is it? I haven't added them up recently. But what do we have today is the lack of independence. And we today in the United States of America have a government that is very dominated by a foreign nation. They are dominating our foreign policies. And today, as I speak, there are Americans in harm's way in Iraq. And ladies and gentlemen, no one has more of my support and prayers than the American military personnel in Iraq who every day face the possibility of maiming, being blinded, being emasculated, being disfigured, or being killed. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no greater betrayal of America or of those American military personnel than to put them into a situation where they have the chance of losing their life or limb and their families suffering that great loss. not for the interests of the United States of America, but for the interests of a foreign nation, a foreign power that has inordinate influence and control over American foreign policy, over much of the media of the United States of America, and of much of the political establishment of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a situation that is horrendous in terms of the values of what this country was founded upon. And on this Independence Day, I declare, and I hope that you will declare, that America must be independent, that we must have government and government policy for the interest of our own people, not for any other nation. We must not be, and we are not, the United States of Israel. We are the United States of America. The Iraq War was a malicious, malicious distortion of American policy in the interests of Israel over the United States of America. Saddam Hussein never posed any threat whatsoever to the American people. But the Jewish neocons such as Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, Elliot Abrams, we could go on and on. David Wormser, Mr. Crystal, we could just continue that list for hours on end. They saw a strategic interest of Israel at stake in overthrowing the government of Saddam Hussein because he was a very powerful force in the Middle East and he supported the Palestinians mightily. And, of course, years ago, in 1996, I believe it was, Richard Pearl and Mr. Paul, not Paul Wolfowitz, but David Wormser, wrote a report for the Israeli government called A Clean Break, A Strategy for Securing the Realm. And that paper wasn't written for the United States government. It was written for the Israeli government. That's right, a foreign nation. And it was about war with Iraq, with Syria, and with Iran, ladies and gentlemen. And look where we're going today. No, there were no weapons of mass destruction, but they couldn't manipulate America into the war unless they alleged violations of Saddam Hussein or the United Nations, unless they posed Saddam Hussein as a great threat to the security of the United States with these so-called weapons of mass destruction. They had to say that Saddam was a threat to America, because Americans were not willing, and I don't think they are willing, to go out and die by the thousands or tens of thousands, or be maimed by the tens of thousands, or spend literally hundreds of billions of dollars. In fact, the bill will go up to trillions of dollars when you add up the medical care and all the assorted costs of the war over the next few years. It will be into the trillions of dollars, just a national treasure, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think Americans are willing to spend that price for Israel's strategic objectives. But the way they were able to get us to go into this terrible war was specifically telling us that America was in danger. Of course, it wasn't. There weren't any weapons of mass destruction, and we were lied to from the beginning. Mr. Stuart Cohen and the CIA was in charge of intelligence. The Israeli government supplied us with a lot of the false intelligence. And what I call the Israeli media in the United States of America supplied us with a lot of intelligence. One of the best things that's happened recently, of course, has been the Walt and Mearsheimer paper. Walt is a professor at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University, the most prestigious university in the United States of America. And basically, he's come out with a paper that has backed up everything that I've been saying for many years about the Iraq War and the power of the Israeli lobby in the United States of America. To show you the depth of the treason of this lobby, and to show you how much we have been lied to and deceived in the United States of America, I can just point out to you a simple fact, and it may scare you. If you're listening to this program for the first time, this may scare you. And I was on a plane at one time, and I told this to another passenger, and he said, "You're scary." And what I told him was that I asked him, I said, "What is the only Middle East government that has committed a direct act of terrorism against the United States of America, against United States installations, both civilian and military personnel. What is the only government action in the Middle East that has done that against the United States of America? And of course, the answer is not Syria. It's not Iraq. It is Israel. Israel has committed terrorism against the United States of America. Admittedly, there's no arguing about it. There's no debate about it. In the 1950s, they tried to again, through terrible deception, murder, and terrorism, get America into a war against Egypt, which was in fact their enemy at the time, long before the peace treaty that now exists between those two countries of Egypt and Israel. And they literally sent Jewish false flag undercover operatives into Egypt to blow up the American Library, the MGM American Theaters, and other American installations in Egypt, blame it on the Egyptians, and with their help, obviously, in the media, the tremendous power they have, the Jewish supremacists in the media, get America into a war against Egypt, a war that would in turn cost how many thousands of American lives, how many tens of thousands of American wounded, how many billions of dollars, a war that would have been totally and completely unjust by an act of God or providence or fate, whatever you want to call it. One of the bombs blew up in one of the Jewish agents' pockets. He was uncovered, and apparently under duress, he gave all the names of the other Israeli agents. They rounded up the entire Israeli team. It came to the point where the Israeli government couldn't deny it anymore. And Pinhas Lavon, who was the defense minister of Israel, basically was fired. It was admitted that it was, in fact, an Israeli operation. And in fact, the Israeli government has awarded these Jewish terrorists who attacked America just a few months ago, they gave them medals and called them heroes. Now, this is the same country we are sending billions of dollars to every year. This is the same country that we're literally inflicting casualties of death and maiming to our own young men and women because of their policy in Iraq. This is the same country, and this country gave medals to these terrorists who attacked American installations. And of course, in 1967, Israel attacked the USS Liberty. Israel says it was a mistake. But the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the time, Admiral Thomas Moore, the Secretary of State at the time, Dean Rusk, and many other leading researchers and leaders in this country all have said clearly that that time and since that time that they are absolutely convinced that Israel knew exactly what it was doing in attacking the USS Liberty. And the evidence, ladies and gentlemen, is absolutely overwhelming that they knew what was going on. In fact, they even broke off after the attack after they heard the fact that American fighters were coming in the aid of the Liberty. They cased the ship for hours beforehand with low-flying observation craft. They waved to the American soldiers. The American ship was clearly marked, international lettering, huge American flag, clear day, breezy day. It was an absolute terrible act of terror that killed 34 Americans, wounded 183 Americans. And this, ladies and gentlemen, was one of the worst surprise attacks in American history. And this went down the memory hole very, very quickly. Many Americans don't even know about the Liberty, and they don't even know the fact that Israel, there's a lot of evidence that Israel did this act. We have, of course, the Jonathan Pollard case. Here is a spy that many American analysts, including Caspar Weinberger, Jewish himself, believes did more damage to the United States of America from spying than perhaps any other spy in history, maybe back to the days of the American Revolution, back to the days of our original independence. Pollard stole sensitive evidence and secretive evidence on our spy network in Eastern Europe, and the Israelis, again, the absolute duplicity of these Israelis that we send billions of dollars to, they literally sold this information to the Soviets, exchanged it for something, we don't know what yet, but it absolutely devastated and destroyed, decimated our intelligence network in Eastern Europe, causing the deaths of many American operatives. He's still sitting in prison. Then we have AIPAC. Here we have the United States of America. Doesn't it seem a little strange to you that the largest single and most powerful lobby in the United States of America, AIPAC, is a lobby for a foreign government. Now, that, let's get that straight. A lot of people say, well, American Rifle Association, these other groups are powerful. Let me tell you, there's a lot of opposition to the American Rifle Association in Congress. There's hardly a peep of opposition to the to AIPAC in Congress. For one thing, they give tremendous amounts of money to politicians, and they support any politician who goes against the politician who dares to put American interests first. Again, we're right back to the theme of the broadcast today, and that's American independence. This is our Independence Day, and I want to celebrate our independence today. I don't like being in a situation where I must bemoan the loss of American independence, and in a sense, the loss of American freedom, because when our government isn't acting in the interest of the people of the United States, we are not free. We are controlled. We are enslaved, in a sense. And our boys right now are dying for Israel rather than the United States of America. As a patriotic American, that makes me pretty hot. That makes me pretty damn mad. It makes me deeply angry, not just at the Israeli operatives or these dual loyalists. They're not really dual loyalists. They have one clear loyalty. That's to Israel over the United States, over anything else in the world. But it really gets me angry at the people like George Bush and the other people in our government that have sold out our interests for those campaign contributions and for a nice mention in the press so the press doesn't attack them. Because if they criticize Israel, they might be treated like David Duke's criticized. They might be called an anti-Semite just for simply putting the interests of the United States of America over us, over themselves and over, you know, this government rather than the interest of Israel over this government. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a situation on this Independence Day of 2006 where we are literally losing the America of our forefathers. We're losing our country. While we have Americans over in Iraq trying to secure the borders of Iraq with Iran and Syria and other countries, our own border is being invaded. Millions of people are crossing our borders without going through immigrations, without going through customs. They're violating American law, and our government is not willing to do what is necessary to defend and protect the borders of the United States of America. And I can tell you, this is happening for the same reason that America is in Iraq. They seem quite unrelated, don't they? But they're absolutely related. It's that same dedicated minority to another agenda who dominates our government that has created this policy of immigration into the United States of America. I hope everyone listening will read Jewish Supremacism or My Awakening and begin to get an understanding of what has happened in terms of our country, in terms of immigration. It wasn't the fact that the American people suddenly wanted to open our gates and our borders to the third world. It wasn't that fact that caused America to change. We had very strong immigration laws in the United States of America up until the middle 60s, up until 1965 to be exact. Strong immigration laws. It was lobbying, it was pressure groups, it was a concerted campaign of the media, and the most powerful groups behind the change of immigration, no doubt, no question, no argument, were the Jewish supremacist groups. The same groups like the American Jewish Committee, the American Jewish Congress, the ADL, the same groups that argued for opening our gates, and the people leading it, Jacob Javits, for instance. And we can go on and on. Emanuel Seller. And they led this effort for, well, literally 50 years before they were successful in actually changing it. They did this all the way from the time of the first great restrictionist immigration policies of the early 1920s. And they finally succeeded. They orchestrated it. They organized it. I can prove that. There's no argument about it. There's no discussion about it. They were the driving force behind this change. Now, this is the same Jewish extremist minority, because these aren't all Jews, but it's Jewish, the biggest Jewish organizations are behind it. These are the same extremist Jewish groups that support Israel, which is a state dedicated to Israel as, quote, a Jewish state. dedicated to preserving the demographic basis of Israel. But somehow we're not able to preserve the demographic basis of the United States of America. That's evil. You see the hypocrisy? Again, our press is not independent. You know, just as important as having an independent government is, in fact, having an independent press. It's absolutely vital. If you don't have an independent press, a truly independent and free press, then you don't have the ability to know what's really going on in the world. They can focus on whatever issue they want to focus on. They cannot focus on what they don't want you to think about. You know, we are in this tremendous demographic disaster in the United States of America today, and yet there's very little talk about it. I mean, people talk, the press sometimes talks about some of the problems of immigration. We have some pretty great people like Lou Dobbs and others who talk against immigration in the media. But most of the time they talk basically about the economic impact, and it is a terrible impact in the United States of America. They talk about the effect in terms of crime, and it's a terrible impact on this country. They talk about the impact in terms of our educational system, and it's a bad impact. They talk about the impact on our culture, which is a terrible impact. We're losing even our language in many parts of the United States. You know, I don't want to see this country resemble or look like or become like Mexico. Mexico's great to visit. I've been there a few times. I respect all peoples of the world. And again, I must repeat that because I'm so often called in the media, it's like part of my name, a white supremacist or whatever. I'm not one. I don't want white people to be supreme. I don't believe in fact that we should even have bases in 65 countries of the world. I don't think we should be in Iraq. I don't think we should be trying to control all the politics of all the South American countries or the Southeast Asia or anywhere else in our Africa or anywhere else in the world. But I do think we have a right to preserve our own culture, own heritage in our own country. I believe in the United States of America. That is, I believe in the values that our forefathers gave us. You know, not long after the Declaration of Independence and the founding of the country and the Constitution of the United States in the late 1780s, one of the first acts of the United States Congress was an Immigration Act, which shows you the founders of the country what they really believed in. And they stated very clearly that immigration should be allowed only to white Christian people. I mean, that was the first Immigration Act of the United States of America. And, of course, I'm the one that is referred to in the media as an un-American simply because I want to preserve our heritage. And even our forefathers, even the Restrictious Immigration Act of the 1920s wasn't a terribly restrictive act. In fact, it was the fairest thing you could think of. It simply said that we will maintain the percentage of the ethnic groups of America as they were. It wasn't trying to make America into an all-white country, which I don't think would be so bad, you know, obviously. But I think it's fine for countries to be basically what they are, for Japan to be all Japanese and for China to be all Chinese. And my God, what a behemoth that China is. 1.3 billion people, and basically they're all Chinese. They have a tremendous unity there, and their power is going to grow and grow and grow, and their unity and their pride is going to continue. And they truly, generally, have a press and they have a government that's acting in their interest. We might disagree with that government, obviously, in the United States of America, but don't we need the same? And there's a lot of pressure and a lot of attacks against Mr. Putin right now in Russia. You know, I don't agree with everything Putin does, and there's many patriots in Russia that don't like him, but let me tell you, they don't like Putin because Putin is Russian. And compared to the policies of the United States of America, he acts more in the interest of Russia than the President of the United States acts in the interest of Israel. I did an article just recently, as you know, and on the DavidDuke.com website, and I talked about the recent celebration in the White House by Chabad Lubavitch. They had a celebration of Rabbi Schneerson, the great Rebbe, they call him. And this is a man who said that Gentiles are of a completely different species. The Gentiles aren't human beings. That Gentiles have satanic souls. That the purpose of Gentiles is to serve Jews. And they have a celebration for this guy in the White House, ladies and gentlemen, in the White House of the United States of America. Mr. Chertoff is there, son of a rabbi, and Mr. Bolton is there, and the rest of the White House staffers. They teach these Chabad lessons in the White House of the United States of America. It's incredible. That's not independence. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not freedom. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's hard for me to celebrate American independence on this day In fact, I must mourn the loss of our independence. I certainly can celebrate and honor the fantastic sacrifices of our forefathers, of our families, way back there when America fought the most powerful nation on earth for our independence, to be a free and independent people. And the best way that I can honor those forefathers is to stand up. And I think it's for you to stand up and be dedicated to the idea that America will be independent once more. We'll have a government dedicated to the principles and interests of the people of the United States and not any other foreign power. That we will bring our sons and daughters home from the sands of Iraq, and we'll station as many as we need in a much easier duty where they won't be shot at generally, on the Mexican-American border to protect our most fundamental values, traditions, culture, heritage, and freedoms here in the United States of America. We in America and we European people have a right to exist, as all people have a right to exist. We have a right to want for our children to practice the same values, to have the same heritage, same traditions that our fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers had. We have a right to have a nation that is truly our expression. We have a right to have a media that's an expression of our highest ideals, of our culture, our values, not gangster rap, not this overwhelming media twisted pornography that we see that goes on and it's called entertainment. We have a right to have a society that's based on high ideals. We have a right for our children to go as far as their ability warrants, not be discriminated against because they're of European descent in a scholarship or a job or a promotion. We have the right for our children to attend to school and be safe and sound and not subject to danger and drugs and other problems because of the forced, crazy, anti-European policies of a government that seems to be no longer in our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, we must, on this Independence Day 2006, dedicate ourselves to winning the freedom of the American people once more. This has been David Duke, and I really appreciate you being with me. And please, on this Independence Day and over the next few days, if you've enjoyed this broadcast, please help me spread this broadcast throughout the Internet and all over the world, because I think there's value in it, not just for Americans, but for people everywhere on the planet, especially for Europeans, wherever they may live, whether it be Europe or Australia or New Zealand, because the same principles are there. Our people have a right to live. We also need your support, your generous contributions to continue our work. I'm very thankful for those of you that enable this broadcast to be on the air, the DavidDuke.com website to be going, and David Duke Report to be going. David Duke Report, by the way, is being mailed out very shortly, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow, one post day from American Independence Day. Thanks so much. God bless you, and take care.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.